Okay, Dr. Wright, we'll conduct your hearing, ma'am.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Would you state your name and ABC number again for the record?
My name is Rose Hart Allison, and my ABC number is 309339.
Thank you, Ms. Allison. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your revocation hearing regarding the one allegation on your right. And based upon information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on February the 5th of this year. Do you remember that notification, ma'am?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, and on that statement, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. May I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And as you can see, there are five members of the board participating in your hearing today, and I would just like to introduce them to you so that you might know who we are. To your left, which would be to my right, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Rudy Kiwanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your lead to hearing for your hearing this afternoon. We also have in the room with us today the gentleman that you can see, and that is Mr. Turner. The Honorable Mr. Turner is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer of today. Ms. Allison and Mr. Turner, do both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, I do you so affirm. Ms. Allison?
Yes, sir, I do.
And the Honorable Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. As I indicated, Ms. Allison, you have one allegation, only one. I am going to read it, and as I read it, would you tell me whether it's true or false?
Yes, sir.
And it reads that you have violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 12C, as demonstrated by your failure to report to your assigned parole officer within one working day after being discharged from Skelly House on December 12, 2018. Your whereabouts was unknown, thus she was under strength from supervision. Ma'am, is that true or false?
It is true, but the reason why that happened is because I was picked up for a misdemeanor warrant.
Okay, we're going to let you explain it later, but saying as much as you say it's true, we're going to move forward. I'm going to offer a motion so that we can go to phase two, and in phase two, you can explain everything to us, what happened and why it happened. But at this time, my motion is going to be based upon the admission of Ms. Allison. I move to find that she violated terms and conditions of supervision, that she was delinquent, that she had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Kiwanis, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. House. At this time, ma'am, we're going into phase two of your hearing, which is a very important phase of your hearing, inasmuch as the board will make a determination whether to continue you on supervision or to revoke your community supervision. We begin this phase by receiving some background information on you from the Department of Correction. Once we get that, then we're going to come back, talk with you, and you can tell the board whatever you need to tell the board. So if you remain quiet, as Mr. Turner, we will request the Honorable Mr. Turner to give us some background information at this time. Honorable Mr. Turner.
Yes, sir. Allison was released from ADC custody on 12-10-2018 and arrested on 1-7-2019 by Phoenix Police Department on misdemeanor charge of shoplifting. She was returned back to ADC custody on 1-7-2019 with an adjusted CSED of 5-5-2019 with 25 abscond days. Current conviction, 2018, commitment B, count one, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2018, commitment C, count one, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2012, narcotic drug violation, 9 months. This is her second term in ADC with a CUIR score of 2-3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. No STD information is noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2016. TIS release completed, 4 months. Disciplinary is minimum. Other arrest, 2011, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona fined. 2016, dangerous drug violation, Arizona felony conviction probation. 2016, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. She has a GV score of G3, V2. Status of charges, per the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, at this time, there is no pending charges.
Okay, no charges at this time. Okay, thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Turner. Okay, Ms. Allison, we're back to you. It seems that when you were initially released from Perryville, that you were to go to Skeller House, and then you were discharged from Skeller House on December 12, 2018. No other approved residents. What happened at Skeller House, and what happened to Dean Will Williams? Where did you go after you left there?
I was on my way home. I went to my clinic, the CBI factory team. I was trying to get a food box, and I had to meet with a benefits specialist. I was on my way home, and I had asked somebody for a cigarette, and I guess they had been loitering off the light rail, and two police officers approached, and they asked me for my information, and I gave them my information. When I was in here in 2018, I was aware that I had a misdemeanor warrant from Mesa, Arizona. I had written them a letter while I was incarcerated, asking if they could do like a time served or something. I never received a response. So when I gave the officers the information, I was like, okay, well, hopefully I'll be okay. I ended up still having the misdemeanor warrant in Mesa, and I was in Phoenix, so they had to detain me and take me to 4th Ave. That was in the evening when I was on my way home back to my halfway house. And they didn't send me to Mesa till about 6 or 7 in the morning. I suffer from schizophrenia, so sitting in a holding cell, I was already kind of in somewhat mild psychosis. So I wasn't doing too well, and by the time I was released, I was pretty much in like full-blown psychosis, so I just kind of wandered. But since being in here, I don't know what exactly it was, but they put me on medication that worked, because since I have been incarcerated this time, I have not suffered from a psychosis since being incarcerated. So I mean, I guess it was kind of a good thing, because now I feel more mentally and emotionally stable. I feel like if I were to be released, I'd be more in a position to be able to handle life on my terms. So.
Okay, well, we're glad that whatever they did, whatever medication that they gave you, that it's working, and you're really sound and good spirits, so we're really glad that that happened. Now, after you left the police department, after you had been housed by them for overnight, I guess it was, where exactly did you go for those 25 days? You were just out on the streets, or did you go to somebody's house? Where exactly were you, ma'am?
No, yes. I just, when I go into psychosis, I'm like a typical schizophrenic. I kind of just wander the streets aimlessly, talk about the end of the world, eat out of garbage cans. I'm one of the people that probably get like picked up by like CBI and stuff like that. It's actually quite sad. So fortunately, I mean, it was kind of good that this happened, because if I would have still been out on the streets in this cold and in the rain, that we had in February and January, I probably wouldn't be doing so well right now.
How long have you had that type of condition where when things like that happen, you just start eating out of garbage cans and so forth? How long have you been doing stuff like that, ma'am?
Well, it's normally it's not as bad, but I was diagnosed with schizophrenia at the age of 23.
And now you just turned 30, or you were just turned 30, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you've been doing this for about seven years. So,
I was at a point to where I was doing quite well, and I have a DV situation with my ex, and ended up leaving him, and I was going to school, I had a car, I was working on an internship, I had a 3.5 at Phoenix College, and well, there was a kind of like a trustee type battle, and DCS was involved, and because of the EV, and they considered me not stable, but DCS had never seen me go into an actual psychosis. I mean, being schizophrenic is pretty devastating at times. But because of all that happened, I was like, well, what's the point? I lost my daughter, and I relapsed. I was actually clean for close to 3 years, because the last time I was in prison was in 2016. I had a 2008 Chrysler Sebring convertible. I had, through my SMI clinic, they had gotten me a housing voucher. I was working on getting an apartment for me and my daughter, and the lady called me after she was saying, I told her I felt like it was discrimination because she kept telling me that I wasn't stable. And she was like, well, you have to talk to your attorney, you have to talk to your attorney. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. And then 2 weeks later after that, she called me and said that they were going to give custody to his mom. And after that, I was just like, so since then, I've kind of been having the trouble, but when I was released, December 2018, I was pretty much going in and out of psychosis on San Carlos almost weekly. And I don't understand what exactly it was. They adjusted the amount that I get on the medication. It's the same medication, but different amounts. But since then, I haven't had not one psychosis since I've been incarcerated.
But right now, you're on medication now, am I correct, since you've been incarcerated?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
And I believe, based on what you're saying and the way that you're saying it, that it's working. Now, I would assume, I'll make some assumption, and I'm not supposed to make an assumption. I'm assuming that you didn't find a job while you were out, did you, those 25 days? You didn't find any work at all?
I didn't find a job. Well, are you talking about after my incarceration in 2016, or are you talking about after my incarceration 2018?
18, just recently.
No, but I was working on getting my Social Security back. I was debating whether or not I should re-enroll in Phoenix College or go and get a part-time job, because I collect Social Security, so I can't technically work full-time. So.
Okay, you did not drop a UA while you were out either, did you?
I do not believe so. I did make my first initial appointment, but that was it. After they released me in Mesa, I was wandering around homeless because in psychosis, you hear stuff, you see stuff. I mean, I was really out of it. It's pretty bad.
So exactly, you know, when we let you out now, you get out in May, whenever. What exactly are your plans? What do you plan to do, ma'am, to remain stable and to live a productive life? So what do you plan to do?
Well, since being here, I've been really thinking about it, and I was going to school for social work, and I did really, really, really good my first semester, and I don't think I've ever had so much fun before in my life, but I really want to get re-enrolled. I was thinking about, there's this part-time call center that I know of that has a 401k insurance benefits. I was thinking of applying there part-time. I don't know if I get the benefits and all of that doing it part-time. Being in here, I'm really involved with church. I go to church 4 times a week now. I didn't do this when I was on Carlos. And also, I've helped get an AA meeting started in here, because Lonely does not have an AA meeting. So I've had myself 3 years sobriety. And that was when I was 18 to the age of 21. And so I've had sponsees, and I've done the steps and all that. So I really, really want to get into the recovery scene. And I know at Phoenix College, when I wasn't there, they didn't have a type of like group where they could meet with like other addicts or alcoholics. So I was thinking of doing something sorts of that. I would stay in contact with my intense SMI clinic. They were already talking when I got released of putting me into a TLP and either getting me 12-hour housing or an apartment voucher again. I was just, depending on how, I feel pretty stable right now, so I think I would go for the voucher because I really want to work towards getting my daughter a part of my life, because before I left here, My ex had written me a letter saying that his mother would fly, because they had moved to California, she would fly her out once a month to come see me. So I want to get on my feet and get myself together so I could at least have her in my life once a month.
Well, we really want you to get on your feet and so that you can be have contact with your daughter and hope that everything will work out. It seems to me that all of your problems that resulted in you being incarcerated had something to do with drugs, whether it's drug paraphernalia or dangerous drugs or whatever. So what kind of drugs were you using, ma'am?
I am unfortunately a garbage pail junkie, but I mainly use meth or heroin. But being in here, it's almost like I've seen the light, and I'm an intravenous drug user, and I don't want to do that anymore, at all. I want to be sober. I want to help other people in my situation and share my story, and hopefully, like, it'll reach somebody. I mean, I want to do H&I and maybe one day be able to come to a place like this and tell my story and help save someone's life, you know?
Well, we really want you to do that. Okay, so at this time, if you could just remain quiet for a moment, I'm going to see if other board members might have some questions for you. I don't see any questions from other board members at this time. We're coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and make its decision. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, Ms. Allison?
I just would like to say thank you all for all your time and your consideration. I feel really remorseful for what happened, but regardless, I know and I have faith that it's in my higher power's hand, and I'm just grateful to have been a part of this today.
Thank you so very much. Now the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you stay on the phone. In Arizona, we operate on the open meeting law, so you can hear everything that we say. We don't say anything in secret or behind your back. So we're going into discussion now, and please remain quiet. The board is now in discussion. I find Ms. Allison to be a very interesting young lady. I feel that she does have a great future before her. She's just going to have to stay off of drugs, and she's going to have to stay on that medication, that SMI medication. And I think that with those two things, she'll be ready to be productive. And I believe that she's doing both of those since she's been reincarcerated. Therefore, I feel that it will be in her best interest just to remain where she is now until her release date in May, and that she put together a plan. And so when she gets out, she can be that productive citizen, can get her daughter back, and live that productive life. But that's just my feeling as one board member. I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. Therefore I'm going to offer a motion, and my motion is going to be based upon information contained in warrant number 2018-W3765, as well as discussion that we've had with Ms. Allison, as well as testimony coming from the Department of Correction through Mr. Turner. I'm going to move to revoke her community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
Motion by myself, Sister Wright, seconded by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Corrales, the Honorable Mr. Neal, the Honorable Mr. Johnson. Ma'am, your community supervision has been revoked, but I do not look at this as being a negative. It's a positive to give you an opportunity to get your life together, and according to information that we have, you should be released on May the 5th of this year, and at that time you won't have to report to a parole officer. You'll be on your own, so put your life together for the next few weeks while you're still incarcerated, and take advantage again of the AA programs, the NA programs, and make sure you're still on that medication for your SMI, and I feel that you'll be ready to be that productive citizen, and we wish you the best in recovering your daughter so that she can be a part of your life once again. Ma'am, this will end your hearing. Please put the next person on. Let the CO3 come on. Thank you so much for your participation.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.